I don't know about you, but sometimes my brain kind of switches off and I just go into autopilot. We've been working on a new computer system where I work, and one of the things we need to do is to make sure that when people use it, because it's for doing application forms, so they've never seen it before, that when they come to it, that it's welcoming, as we've been talking about, it's friendly, they can figure out how to fill in the application form online. And the problem is, my brain switches off. I've now filled in so many test applications, I'm up to 59 already. And my brain switched off. I'm not reading all the stuff that comes up that explains it and checking whether it actually does explain it or not, because I kind of know I'm on autopilot. And sometimes we read the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and we're kind of on autopilot. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, it's, oh, yeah, I know this stuff. And then there's blessed something else. And yeah. And we switch off. And so, as Andy mentioned, when we come to actually look at what it says, sometimes it does surprise us a little bit. Wonder if we could have the stage, PC? Thank you. What this piece of the Bible tells us is that we are to be careful not to practice our righteousness in front of others. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So it definitely says not to be seen. And yet, Wayne was up here the other day, and he was saying that there's a verse in the Bible that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And he said, what is that verse? And now that the competition's over, not a spoiler, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. So definitely, when you're doing something good, you should let people see it. So I've got a bit of a problem, and I need to put my brain on and think, seen or not seen? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, or let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. So we need to kind of, and it's only two chapters apart, it's all part of the same Sermon on the Mount, actually, where both of these things happen. So we do need to think. There's lots of things, I think, that we need to think about that sometimes we don't think about. I mean, why do we do this giving stuff in the church anyway? We pass around, in this church, we pass around blue bags. Why do we do it? Is it because it's my contribution to the work of the church? Is that the important thing about it? Is it actually something that we wish we didn't have? You know, the elders have had a breakfast once. We love our breakfasts. And we had this little conversation about, should we even pass these bags around? Because is that not welcoming? People come in and we want to make them feel at home, and then we say, and please give us some money. Is that welcoming? Maybe we shouldn't do that. So is it an interruption to our worship? Or is it something that we actually want to do because it reminds us, it's representing us, giving ourselves to God. It's representing us being thankful to God. And if we took away the collection and didn't do it, then we wouldn't be so much involved in actually something that is part of worship and always has been. Is it something that we do and we're all gathered together and it makes us feel all part of the same community, the same body? Or is it that we've been on autopilot all these years and we've never really thought, you know, church just does that. It's always done that. Ever since the first time I came, it's always done that. So I just don't think about it. Or maybe something else. There's always 2%. Any survey you do, there's always 2% who disagree with all of the above and they've got their own particular thing. So I've put that in as your option. There you go. None of the above. What does giving mean to me? We see in this little story of Jesus, this little illustration of Jesus, there's two ways we can give. We can give publicly so everyone can see it. We can give privately, in secret, so no one except God knows that we've given. And I guess the person who received it, although sometimes the person who received it doesn't even know what's been given because it pops through the letterbox and they don't know where it came from. Giving publicly or giving privately. We can be motivated when we give our gifts by the love of fame. We want to make everyone notice that we have given such a large and wonderful gift. In fact, I heard a sermon once, I don't know where they found this from, I think they might have made it up, that maybe these people who stood on street corners so that everyone could see what was going on, that they actually got all their change, their 1p coins, to make it look like it was a really lot of cash that they were giving. Motivated by fame or motivated because we love other people, that's why we want to help them in their need, and we love God and we want to express the fact that God has blessed us and we want to bless others, we want to be like God. I don't mean that in an irreverent way, but we are, if God is our Father, then we have the family likeness. We want to be more and more like God as we grow up, and we want to be giving like God is giving. There's two ways of looking for reward. Are we looking for reward of the glory from people, thinking, oh, what a wonderful person that giver is, or rewarded by repayment from God? Talking of rewards, I will give a small reward to anyone who can tell me afterwards. There's two different Greek words used for reward in this passage. Not one, but two. And those of you who have one of these devices or access to the internet, you can find these things out. There's two words for reward. They're both translated in the New International Version with the same word, but it's actually two different words. Little reward, if you can tell me what that is in tradition of what Wayne started. So, how does God repay us? Because it says, your Father, who sees what he's done in secret, will repay you. How does he repay us? He repays us, I believe, with treasures in heaven. That's another part of this Sermon on the Mount. Don't store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust and so on corrode, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven that will never be lost or stolen. We also read in one of the only pieces of the Bible that tells us something Jesus said that isn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I've known some people who take this the wrong way. They say, oh, I don't want to receive anything because that's not blessed. It doesn't say it's not blessed to receive. It says it's more blessed to give. So God will bless us if we give. And in Luke, we read that Jesus said, you will receive with the same measure that you give. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. And I have had the privilege of seeing this in a market in the Middle East, and I know what that means, but I have a suspicion that folk here don't really understand what this means. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So I would like to ask for four volunteers, please, to help me understand what this means. If you could come up on the platform in the style of a TV chef. One, two, three, four. Yes, got four people. Right. Now, the reason I've asked for four people is because we have four things that it tells us about the way God gives. It's good measure, it's pressed down, it's shaken together, and it's running over. So first of all, just to show you what it is like when it's not good measure, and pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, I'd like one of you, can you help me? Take that and fill this up to, you see it says on there, 1 pint. Mm-hmm. Can you put it as to 1 pint? But when you fill it, make sure that you do not use a generous measure. You know, it's just make sure it's 1 pint. And make sure you don't press it down, and make sure you don't shake it together, and make sure it's not running over the top, yeah? And let's hope this all works. Halfway, I think. Is that 1 pint? The thing with this is it's not like water, it doesn't go level. You have to sort of... Oh, I like that. I think that's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. Thank you very much. Now, could you pour it into that bowl there? Into this big bowl here. Because we're going to need to use that measuring again. Lovely. So that's 1 pint. Now, could you do the same again, but this time good measure? So you can probably go fast, because you don't have to worry about lining it up exactly, and just give us a good measure. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, when she's done a good measure, to press it down, okay? So you're going to kind of punch it and press it down as hard as you can go. And then I'm going to ask you to shake it together. So you can maybe pick it up and tap it and shake it as much as you can. And what happens is all the little lentils then go down a little bit. And then I want you to make it run over. That's the most fun bit. Oh no, give it a bit more welly than that. Press it down. It does come out the side though, doesn't it? Oh, right. Thank you. So that's pressed down. Now, can you shake it together? And now, what you do is you put this in the middle of there, and you fill it till it's running over. So we've had good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then, if you can pour your running over bowl into, thank you, measure into this bowl. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes. If you'd like to go and sit down, thanks very much. So which bowl would you rather have? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So what I saw was in the marketplace, the different traders, they want you to come back to their stall next week. So they make sure that they give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So you'll say, that's a good, generous tradesman. I'll go to them. I won't go to this stingy one who measures it out and just gets it to the exact line. So each of us should give generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give cheerfully and generously. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who think that the only way I can make somebody else £1 richer is if I am £1 poorer. And so there's only so much good that I can do. And if I give away a pound, I am a pound poorer and they're a pound richer. That's the only way I can make them richer. But think about this. If you needed to make a sandwich, how much would it cost? Because you'd have a loaf of bread, but you wouldn't use all of it, you'd just use a couple of slices. And you'd have a tiny bit of butter, and you'd have some, I don't know, cheese and pickle, or maybe you like ham, I like chutney. But when you think, how much does that sandwich actually cost to make? Is it a pound or not? And I would say it's probably less than a pound to make the sandwich. But if you were then to give that sandwich to somebody on the street who hasn't got a kitchen and a fridge, which has a loaf of, and butter and all the rest of it, they would have to get a sandwich from the shop. And how much would a sandwich from the shop cost them? So you have given, let's call it, for the sake of argument, 50p. You are 50p poorer, but they're about £1.50 richer. So it's not true that the only way we can make other people richer is to make ourselves equivalently poorer. And it's certainly not true about happiness. We do not get sadder by sharing happiness. I can smile at you. Does that make me sadder? Have I lost some sadness because I've cheered you up with my smile? No, not at all. And the same with our time. We think the only way we can give other people quality time is by giving up on me time. But when I think about it, the reason that I want some me time is because I'm really run down and stressed. And what made me run down and stressed? Was it spending quality time with my friends? Or was it work and hassle and things to do and so on? So I don't think that we always work out exactly what it means to give. We have an ungenerous spirit. And when you look at what God does, that he just puts so much lavish giving, every little thing, more than we need, pressed down, shaken together, running over, good measure. Let's be more like our Father. And more important than how we give, whether we give publicly and privately, more important, much more important than that, is why do we give? And should we be giving because our Father sees what is done in secret? And when you look at this passage, you could say it could have been written a completely different way. It could have been written to say, make sure you do your giving because God can see what goes on in secret. He knows exactly to the penny how much you've given. And if you don't, he will punish you. It doesn't say that. He talks about blessing. It talks about you'll be blessed and you'll be rewarded because he will see what you have done in secret. And the biggest challenge to me when I was reading this is, why do I think I should give? I think I should give, and we're talking about giving to people who don't have enough, because I hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And giving to the needy is part of our righteousness. We give because God gives to us. And at harvest time, we're especially thinking about this. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. That's him that we just sang, talked about God being our Father. Our Father who loves to give us good things, good gifts. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gives. And we give because we love mercy. The Old Testament prophet tells us this: he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. When it says to love mercy, the act of giving to poor people is an act of showing mercy. It's the same word in the Bible. And when it says walk humbly, well, that's us being humble and not bragging about what we're giving, giving so that our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing. So we've got this puzzle, haven't we? Should we practice our righteousness in front of others to be seen by them? Or should we let our light shine before others that they may see your good deeds? We're still thinking about, what does that mean? I think there's one thing it doesn't mean. I don't think we're supposed to hide behind this verse and say, well, because nobody's supposed to see how much I'm giving, I don't need to give anything at all. And because it says you should go into a room and close the door behind you, or even some translations, go into a cupboard and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in secret, that I don't need to pray at all. You never hear me pray. Or does it say that we're never going to need to fast? I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think there's a key to these two verses. Should we do our good things that we do so that we can be seen, or not, so they can't be seen? And the key is, who gets the glory? Who's going to get the glory? What is our motivation? What are we looking for as to who's going to be glorified by what we do? And that will help us to understand. Because In Jesus' story that he tells us that we're looking at just now, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, to be honoured by others, is what it says in verse 2. That's why people are doing it that way. They want to be honoured, they want to be given glory by other people. So that's one sort of glory. Whereas when Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds, it was so that they would glorify your Father in heaven. So if the glory comes to us, that's wrong. And if the glory goes to God, that's right. And that helps us to understand whether we should be doing things that can be seen or not seen. The answer is, where's the glory going to go? If people can see it, are they going to glorify God? If people can't see it, are they not going to glorify God? That's what we're going to be using to decide. Why do we give? Well, Jesus was asked once, what is the most important command in the Bible? What is the most important thing that we should remember? And he said, the most important is to love God. And then he said, without anybody asking him, and there's a second commandment that's also very important, and that is to love our neighbour. And so our challenge as we give, and hopefully we give generously, is that we give to our neighbour because we love them. We see that our neighbour has a need and we love them, just like that good Samaritan saw somebody who needed something and he had mercy on him. And yet we do it privately or secretly because we love God. If that's the reason that we're doing it secretly, it's because we love God and we want to express our love to him as we give. Thank you.